Sarah McCoy, author of Marilla of Green Gables. McCoy.
I'm only a doctor, Jim!
That was my best impersonation. How did I do?
I am going to read the next bit of copy.
Time to sing, Tim.
There are original lyrics to this.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We are streaming live on the Facebook. And we're live on the internet. If you go to the Google, type in The Drew Marshall Show. It's our Halloween special. This is an interesting fit for... You know what? This is a nice respite from all the nonsense and the scariness that's happened on the show so far.
Unless Marilla has a secret.
Oh, snap! A bold, heartfelt tale of life at Green Gables. Before Anne, a marvelously entertaining and moving historical novel set in rural PEI. For those Americans, that's Prince Edward Island. In the 19th century, that imagines the young life of spinster Marilla Cuthbert. I just want to stop right there and go right to Sarah McCoy right now. And Sarah, can you please help me understand what a spinster is and isn't? Because I have these weird thoughts of what a spinster is.
Okay, well, first off, I am thrilled to be here, and I have never been introduced with such flair and artistry as you just introduced me. I am a closet Trekkie. Yes. So I'm like, oh my gosh, these are my people. So that was the best thing I have ever been given. That was such a gift.
Thank you
for the introduction. And I'm thrilled to be here talking to you. But
hold on. At this point, you should be a little concerned about how this interview is going to go, because we're starting off with Sarah. Uh-huh. What's a spinster?
Yeah, no, I'm not concerned. I actually, like I said earlier, based on the intro, you're my people.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
go all over. I can tell this is just going to be one of those, like, spitballing different subjects, and it's going to be fun.
Squirrel.
So,
yep.
Spinster. Yes, I guess a spinster is technically defined as a woman who has never married. That's a spinster.
Okay.
Marilla never married. That could also be a very wise choice.
Yeah.
Depending on who you are. But I think this book, one of the major themes of it, and one of the major themes in all of Montgomery's writing of Green Gables, is that there isn't one conventional pattern that we must adhere to in order to be a family or in order to be loved or to love someone. You don't have to be married, and Marilla is a spinster. She's never been married, but that doesn't mean that she can't have a child, which she does with Anne Shirley. Doesn't mean she can't love, you know, her family. She can't create this family right there at Green Gables, and a beautiful one, and one that readers across the globe and across the generations have embraced and said, you know what? It's unconventional, that household, and we love it. And we love it because there's a spark of something that's deeper than just what the convention says you should or shouldn't do. So by conventional standards, a spinster is not a good thing. It has a negative stigma to it. And that really shouldn't be that way. I mean, if you choose not to get married and you are in your community loving and producing things and creating and being a positive influence on the people around you, then that is a kind of greatness. That is a nurturing.
Okay,
right there.
Okay, but if Marilla is all that in a bag of chips in her spinsterhood, then mm-hmm. why? Why would she make these choices that will open her life to the possibility of heartbreak and unimaginable greatness? Like, why?
Because she's human. Because that's what we do. That's what we are as human beings. We make decisions that aren't so great, especially this book starts when she's 13 years old. I mean, how many decisions can you think about when you were 13, between 13 and, you know, now?
Well, I set my garage on fire. Does that count?
See, there you go. There we go. What?
And you were in a spinster.
Led to that.
I know.
So,
okay.
I think,
But Sarah, hold on a second. Sarah, I've got to admit some things here. First of all, I don't know a lot about the whole Anne of Green Gables thing. I don't even know who Anne is. I don't know anything about Green Gables. All I know is that there's a house on the East Coast that people go to visit for tourism stuff, and it burned down, if I'm not mistaken, a while back because they were filming something there and someone left some hot light on, and they've rebuilt it. That's all I know. Is that true, first of all? Do you know anything about that?
Well, kind of, yes, I do. And Green Gables is actually not a real place. It is a fictional place created by this author, Lucy Maud Montgomery. She set Anne of Green Gables, an 8-book series there, on PEI, and they came out in 1908. Today, you can go there, and she grew up there, but she didn't. She grew up in Cavendish. So that is the actual place that's real that you can go to.
Right.
But if you go to Cavendish, the touristy place that's called Green Gables, the heritage place, which is beautiful, and they do an incredible job there, that is actually her cousins, the McNeils, and she lived next. She grew up next door in her grandparents' house, which is just ruins now. You can go and walk those ruins, but that's where she wrote Anne of Green Gables. So there's actually three farms that make up the fictional Green Gables. Her grandparents' farm, which is ruins. Next door, her cousins, the McNeils, which has now been made sort of the touristy place. And she would go over there and visit, but she didn't live there. And then there is Silverbush, which is kind of a little bit across town. And that is her favorite aunt, Annie Campbell's house that she did have a room at, and she had a room there with a window that overlooked the Lake of Shining Water. So all those three farms is what she created Green Gables out of her imagination.
Right. Okay.
You can't really go. People go. The one that people go to, though, is the one that was the set. Yeah, that you can go to, and they filmed some stuff there.
Yeah.
They've redone it in the 80s, and they made it look like it's all set up to look like it.
Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to get permission from Green Gable-y people to write this thing, or can anybody write about Green Gables and kind of put the spin on it? You've spun on it.
Well, anyone can now because of copyright laws. The copyright law is that 100 years after a book is published, it is then public domain, or 70 years after the author has passed away. So both of those, we are past those. 1908, the book came out. So it's all public domain, and that goes for any book, not just this book. Any book that is 100 years old, you have at it, writers. It's public. And so I had the lawyers, you know, I had my lawyers for my publisher who said, you have the blessing of the law. But that you know, that's only halfway. Really, what I wanted was the blessing of Montgomery's family.
Yes.
And the blessing of Canadians, because I'm an American. So that was just the beginning, was getting the law down.
Okay.
So I spent much time on PEI. And I got to know the Campbells. They're the only family of Montgomery's that's still there. The rest, Kate McDonald, they're over in Toronto. So I spent time on PEI and really just laid bare my soul in front of them and said, I'm writing this book about this character based on, you know, on Maud Montgomery's work of legacy, you know, this legacy story. Mm. So, and this is canon basically in Canada. So I need you to know what I'm doing, and I need to know your true heart opinion.
Did you ever have anyone say to you, Sarah McCoy of the United States mm-hmm. of America, did you ever have anyone say to you, no, you should not write this. This should be a Canadian, eh?
Well, I thought that the family would say that, and I gave them, they're the first people who got the bound copy manuscript, so it hadn't gone to
right.
be a book yet.
Okay.
And it was the most nervous I've ever been, Drew. I have to say, I was more nervous turning in that to them than I was giving it to my publisher. And it took about a month, and a month after, they all read it, Kate in Toronto, everyone read it. All the family members read it, and they all came back and said, "You have our wholehearted blessing. This is amazing."
Oh, you gotta feel you gotta feel so good about that. Way to go, good for you. You go, girl.
It's not necessarily good. Well, I mean, it's a. I could sleep then, Drew. I was putting out this book. My U.S. publisher already, you know, paid for it, and so I could sleep then because I knew I'd done my job and they approved of it. And so now it's just come out, and so now I am hearing from the Canadian readers, and again, they're the ones I care about. And so far, I feel very blessed. It's been very positive feedback. Everyone seems to love it.
All right. Well, we're chatting with Sarah McCoy, who is New York Times, USA Today, an international best-selling author of Marilla of Green Gables, The Mapmaker's Children, The Baker's Daughter, a 2012 Goodreads Choice Award, Best Historical Fiction nominee. Keeps going. The Time It Snowed in Puerto Rico. The novella, The Branch of Hazel, which is about the mayor of Mississauga. You wouldn't get that. In Grand Central, and Le Souffle des... Hold on, let me just do that the right way.
You got this.
Le Souffle des Fuelies et des Promesses. Did I get that close? Was I close?
Come on. Canada is half French. You should have this down. You should be able to speak your native tongue.
It's the souffle of the girls eating at the prom.
Really?
My gosh, that is too funny. I love that version you just did, though. But yes, those are all my favorites.
I'm willing to do the voiceover, like read the audiobook for you if you'd like.
Awesome.
Hey, sir?
Oh, I will let my Canadian publisher, HarperCollins, know that you are available.
Jamapple, Drew Marshall.
Je m'appelle Hungry. Sarah McCoy, she's the author of Marilla of Green Gables. Tim is an educator of young minds, which scares the snot out of me that you do that. Yes. Tim, this is Sarah McCoy. Is there something intelligent you would like to ask her?
Okay, spoiler for me.
As he smacks the mic with his hand.
Set it up. Sarah, I find it interesting, you know, you get about as far away from PEI as possible being in El Paso there.
I'm now in North Carolina. I'm not
a little closer. As a Canadian, whether it's true or not, we seem to be humble and question our value. Why is Anne of Green Gables so popular that an American would want to write about it?
I was going to ask that.
Then obviously I didn't ask an intelligent question.
Sarah, what do you think?
You know, literature is so subjective that is the magic of any book. Why is it popular? But Anne of Green Gables, guys, it's not just with the U.S., not just North America. It is pervasive around the globe. I mean, you go over to Asia, anywhere over there, and they're like, Anne of Green Gables, Anne of Green Gables. They love it. I talked to George Campbell, who owns and operates the Anne of Green Gables Museum in PEI, and he was in Hong Kong when I just pre-launched the book there, doing a huge junket, like, for Anne of Green Gables. They love it over there.
I remember
there.
When
so,
I was at Green Gables, there was
three whoa. Tour you
buses.
Went to it?
I've been there, yes. I did not burn it.
Good
down.
Man.
Yes.
You're a good man.
Well, I was with my wife, so I really...
That's you're even a better man.
Yes.
That was a good suck-up move, buddy.
There
good
were
job.
Three full tour buses of Japanese
tour
tourists.
Tour buses?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing. Yeah.
It's hugely popular.
Sarah, what authors make you get all fangirl?
Margaret Atwood.
What is with your Canadian affliction?
Affliction? Oh, you're right. I have a Canadian affliction. You're right. I don't know. I love you guys.
Tim Hortons, stat.
I just talked to a whole bunch of the Indigo booksellers when I was up there last weekend, and I said, you know, part of me is like, do I need to change my citizenship? Because I just fit in so well here. Yeah. I feel so like these are my, I mean, look at even this show. You intro'd me with stars, with you know, it's just perfect. So I don't know. But
okay,
that's
Margaret Atwood.
Fun.
All right. Who
Margaret
else?
Atwood.
Who else?
I also love Anne Patchett. I have had brushes where I've nearly met her, and I like get like shaky. Like I think she's incredible.
You've had brushes with the hatchet. Okay.
Yes, close Kip.
With Ann Patchett.
Oh, Patchett. I don't know who that is. Tim, do you know who that is?
I don't know either, no.
Help me understand. I'm sorry, I might be revealing some serious ignorance here, but who is this?
She's a big United States author. She has her own bookstore in Nashville. She's a big proponent of independent bookstores, and she's wonderful. She writes fiction. Those are two of my... I really love those two.
Okay, Sarah, what I would like to know and try to get behind in this whole conversation is, when it comes to Anne of Green Gables and your book, of course, Marilla of Green Gables and that whole phenomena, there seems to be a lot of people that I've come across in my world in the last 40 years of people who are involved in, like, the church scene who really love the Anne of Green Gables stuff. And I'm wondering, you know, what correlation is there? Is it just the purity of home sweet home kind of a thing? Because, I mean, it's just not all as squeaky clean, I think, as say, maybe a Little House on the Prairie. There's a little messiness darkness in the whole thing. So why do the God people love this stuff so much?
I think it's because it is reflective of our real world. Like, there is darkness. The world is not all squeaky clean. And yet, Montgomery brilliantly does it in a way where the focus is not on the darkness. The darkness is there. It's not ignored. I think that's what is kind of bothersome in some other squeaky clean type stories, is that the darkness is completely ignored. Well, that's not reality. You know, that's not what we live in. So the darkness is there, and there's shadows that we see, you know, we feel and we see passing in the Anne of Green Gables series. And yet Montgomery focuses on the light. This child, Anne Shirley, the orphan, is searching for the light. Her parents are dead. I mean, these are all that's very dark. Nobody wants her. She comes to a house. I'm letting you know, since you said you aren't familiar with it. She comes to Green Gables, where this spinster and her older brother live. She's supposed to be a boy. Anne Shirley is supposed to be a little boy to come work on the farm. And she shows up and she's a girl and they don't want her. I mean, that's not all happy.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark, you know? Those are pretty dark emotions everyone's having. And she has a temper, and she screams at her neighbor when she first meets her, and she breaks a slate over a boy's head because he calls her carrots. And, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, humanness in it. And I think that's why, you know, perhaps, as you said, the churchy people, they like it, because it's the humanness, and yet it's a focus on how do we grow from this? How do we find the light? How do we find the goodness? How do we, how do we muddle through this dark world that we, and these emotions that we all have together, and not be consumed by it, and not become what Marilla is at the beginning, which is dark and sad and lonely. And how do we not get consumed by those when they're so pervasive in our world?
You know,
a
while ago I taught a course to a bunch of authors, and the course was, sure, you can write a book, but can you handle an interview? Because there's so many authors that can't, they just don't know how to do interviews. You are killing this interview.
Oh,
well done, Sarah.
I didn't know where we're going with this question. Where is he headed with this?
Yeah, you just don't try to follow the bouncing ball in this boy's head at all. We are on the line with the author of said book, Marilla of Green Gables, Sarah McCoy, whose father was on the Starship Enterprise. Sarah,
he would have loved that.
Have you heard of The Road to Avonlea?
Yes, of course. Of course I have. Have you?
Well, I have.
That's a better question.
No, I have, but I haven't watched an episode. The only time I flicked through it was back in the days where we used to flick through channels instead of going through a guide on the TV. And there was always some little snotty girl being mean to another girl, and it seemed like a little mean girl show. Tim, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I used to watch it because I thought Megan Follows was really pretty.
Oh, isn't she? She is really pretty. She's still doing so much film work that following her is just amazing. I think The Road to Avonlea stars Sarah Polley.
Yeah.
She's a big actress, director in Canada, right?
She is.
Well, The Soul was struggling, but then along came Polly. No? Okay. See what I did there? Nobody. That awkward silence was brought to you by The Drew Marshall Show and Prozac, apparently. Jeez.
But,
Yes.
But yes. I'm familiar with the show. And I was a bit older. Well, I was young, first off, when the first show came on. So the 1985, and then the Anne of Avonlea with Megan Follows came out in 87. And then The Road to Avonlea was much later. And so I was a bit older by then, and I didn't watch it as much as I did the two earlier series with Megan Follows.
Yeah.
But I did watch it, and I loved it. But you're right, actually. There was a lot of, again, showing that Mean Girls, that has been around for ages, and I think giving a lot of hope to young girls who might have been watching at the time to say, you know what? Mean Girls have been around since 1900s. I might not be wearing pinafores and churning butter anymore. We might be, at that point it was like the 80s and 90s. We might be progressive, we think, but this sort of nasty behavior, it still goes on. And then again, there's the lesson in it, though, is that the show never just showed Mean Girls. It showed how our heroine won them over and overcame the obstacles and was valiant and found love and hope in all those situations. So I think that's really why the show was so embraced. It's kind of like Little House on the Prairie, right?
Yeah.
I love that TV series. It's because of the same reasons. It, you know, they were in the wilderness and yet they overcame, and we all love that.
When I was younger, I wanted to grow up and be a father. I wanted to be like Pa from Little House on the Prairie.
I just wanted to roll down the hill, like on the beginning.
Yes.
I'm with you. I just wanted to roll down the hill.
What was it? Michael Langdon? Is that his name?
Landon.
I just wanted his hair. I just wanted hair. But his hair would have been awesome. He's not using it now. So it was good. HarperCollins Canada presents Sarah McCoy. She's the author of Marilla of Green Gables. The website is Sarah McCoy. That's Sarah. That's how you spell that, Sarah. With MCCOY.com, McCoy.com. What a pleasure to have you on the show, Sarah.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I love talking to you guys. It was fast-paced. I like it. Your radio show does not fool around.
No, there's no fooling around. Nope, that's not endorsed on the
totally
Drew Marshall
serious.
Show. Yep. all right, listen, when you write another awesome book, you come back and say hi, okay?
I certainly will. Okay. Thank you again for having me.
Bye, Sarah.
All right, take care.
Bye. Bye, Road to Avonlea girl. What is this?
Great Big C.
Hey. I'm telling you, man, every time I hear this kind of music, I just want to throat punch someone.
Watch out, Amy.
I got to get a light.